Today in this our celebration of the feast of the Epiphany, and we used to call it Feast of the Three Kings. Well, we have a lot of questions about what happened. I mean, about the gospel. Who are these three people? Although we have names for them, and where did they really come from, or was there really a star? But we have to focus on what Matthew is telling us in the gospel about this feast, the Feast of the Epiphany. And before we would be able to understand Matthew, we have to understand some things. Like first, of course, the three magi, well, they were astrologer priests. So coming from the east, perhaps from different nations, or they come from one particular nation, that we don't know. But they were astrologer priests. They would interpret signs of the times, signs in the heavens, in nature, and with what is happening. Maybe they were, you know, maybe they know about politics in their region. So this is how they understand the goings-on during that time. And they knew about a star, but perhaps they have not. They did not see really a physical star, because if you are to understand the gospel, it would be not quite possible for them to see a star, and then they would travel, and then they would see a manger. It wouldn't happen like that. They didn't have cars. They didn't have planes. So maybe they have traveled for months. So there is something about the star that we have to understand. And this happened in the Old Testament, in the book of Numbers, wherein there is Balaam. Balaam is not a prophet. He was also like these magi, a wizard, or a one who interprets signs and all that. But he prophesied. Without wanting it, he prophesied. Suddenly he prophesied. He said in his prophecy, "I see him, but not in this time, not at the present. I see him, but not at the present. I behold him, but not at hand, from afar. And I see a star of Jacob taking the leadership, a scepter arise in Israel." And after that, he said, "Jacob dominates his enemies." Now, and from then on, that was 1,200 years before the birth of Jesus. From then on, 1,200 years before the birth of Jesus, the Jews were started to look for that star, because in their culture, it is believed that a person who would do great things is when he is born is accompanied by a new star. So they all believed in this. So they were looking for that star. So this is the star that guided the Magi to Jerusalem. So we could assume that it is not really a physical star, but the real star, the one who enlightens our minds. And that is Jesus. Okay? That is Jesus. Now, in the first reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah, this prophecy of Isaiah was fulfilled in the gospel today, because Matthew and his readers, the readers of Matthew, understood what Matthew was talking about the star, about the frankincense, gold, and myrrh, and about the Magi, Gentiles, because in the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah also prophesied. He said, "Rise up in splendor, Jerusalem, your light has come." Okay, this is the light that they were waiting for. And, this is the prophecy. Your light has come. And then, "For the riches of the sea shall be emptied out before you, the wealth of nations shall be brought to you. Caravans of camels shall fill you, dromedaries from Midian and Ephah, all from Sheba shall come, bearing gold and frankincense and proclaiming the praises of the Lord." Now this happened in the gospel for today. So what has been prophesied has been fulfilled. Now the Magi represents all the nations of the world, all the peoples, the Gentiles. We are the Gentiles. For the Jews, we are the Gentiles, the non-Jews. So we are the Gentiles, and we are represented in the gospel by the Magi. And now we, as a church, this is the sign of the fulfillment of the prophecy of Isaiah, which is, well, also in the second reading letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians, St. Paul said that the Gentiles are co-heirs, members of the same body. So this is the fulfillment. The church is the sign of that coming together of peoples from different nations, continents, races, color, and language. And that is fulfilled in our church, the Catholic Church, because our church is one. Jesus once said to the Samaritan woman, there will come a time that you people will no longer worship in either Jerusalem or in this mountain. They will be worshiping from everywhere. And in the prophet Isaiah also, maybe in Psalm 60, I don't know, but the prophecy there said that there will come a time that they will worship in one hill, in one mountain. People from every place, they will worship. And it is even stated there that let us go to that mountain and worship, all of us. Let us go to that mountain and worship, because he will teach us how to live. Now this is fulfilled in our church, because our church is one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We come from different races, language, culture, nationality, and all that. Well, other faith, other religions, well, they also have different races, different colors, okay? They have Africans, they have Middle Easterns, they have Filipinos, they have white, black, yellow. They also have different people gathered in their churches, but they are not one. Ours is one. We are one. We identify ourselves as one with the Pope. We identify ourselves as one with Rome. We identify ourselves with the teaching authority of the church, which is the magisterium. So we are all guided by that message of Jesus, of peace and love. That is why in the major scene, during that time, we sing that Holy Night song. It was peaceful, calm, everything, because Jesus teaches us that message of peace and love. Now, the challenge for us, since we have already been enlightened, yes, even though we have been enlightened by that star of Jesus, but then again, we have different reactions. We have different reactions to that star. Perhaps we could also be like Herod, who is afraid, or of the people in the gospel, who they were indifferent, really. I mean, foreigners coming to their town, foreigners coming into their country, looking for the king of the Jews. The king of the Jews, they were awaiting. They were waiting for the king of the Jews, the Messiah. And that when these people came looking for the king of the Jews, they were just, oh, well, okay, just look for them. And perhaps even Herod was not that serious in looking for the king of the Jews. Well, he is jealous of his kingship. He doesn't want to share it. He wants to hold on to power. But if he was really serious of holding on to power, the question there is, why did he not send soldiers with the Magi in finding Jesus? Because if I am Herod and I want to hold on to power, even though I believe in this Messiah, but I want to be king until I die, I would have all bases covered. I would have sent soldiers with the Magi just to make sure, okay, if you find him, kill him there. But he did not. He was not that serious. The people were not that serious. And perhaps some of us, or perhaps all of us, are not serious with this enlightenment being given to us by Jesus. So that is the challenge for us. Some of us would perhaps put off the light, put out the light, try to put out the light. Some of us perhaps would just be, what is this, would just be indifferent to what is happening. But this is indeed the challenge for us. And we pray that we remain in this light of Christ, the true star of Bethlehem, the one who came for us to save us, to enlighten us on how to lead our lives in our journey towards the eternal home.